Hello, everyone. This is Ruby Ryder, and it's the 19th Pegging Paradise podcast. Welcome. I'm glad you tuned in. It's October 22nd, 2012, and I watched the debate tonight. Of course, it got me to thinking about politics. And, you know, I do talk about politics on this blog occasionally. I've made more than a few posts about LGBTQ issues and rights, because I believe in them. And I've written about Sex Workers' Rights Day. I've written about how Jocelyn Elders got fired for her job as Surgeon General just because she mentioned masturbation. I've written about sex education, and more recently I talked about taxation on strip clubs. You know, sex-negative legislation of any kind gets my hackles up, and I believe it really should be fought against with everything we have. But today, it was brought to my attention in a way that I will explain shortly, that the only non-sexual political post I have ever written about on this blog, or talked about in the podcast, on the blog I wrote a post about Occupy Wall Street because I believed in it. And that's the one exception. You know, when you have a blog, you have freedom to post whatever you would like. It's your blog. You can do what you want. But at the same time, you're not in a bubble. Because my readers and my listeners are what make this lovely machine go round and round. And I do recall one person abruptly canceling their membership when I posted the Wall Street piece, interestingly enough. But that brings me to why it was brought to my attention. Today, a reader wrote me to ask if I could remove a comment he made on my blog recently. It had a political and a humorous bent to it, and goodness knows there's a lot of politics flying around right now, especially in the United States. But he asked if I could remove it because he said he was reading back in the blog and going back in the archives and sort of getting the flavor of this thing that I do called Pegging Paradise. And he just didn't feel his comment really belonged there. And I really appreciated his sensitivity, and I removed the comment as well as my reply. But it really got me to thinking, you know, we, the people who are fascinated with this luscious, sexy, and kind of delightfully nasty thing called pegging, likely have a wide variety of political views. I could really give a flying fuck what your political views are. Our commonality here is our interest in pegging, and probably sexuality in general. Because I also believe that another commonality is just an encouraging sex-positive attitudes everywhere. I'm going to assume you heard that. That meant an email came on my phone, which I have not turned down. But I'm not going to start this podcast over. So, anyway, I also believe another commonality is an encouraging sex-positive attitudes everywhere. Because we all kind of have an interest in this, if you think about it. The more sex-positive attitudes are encouraged and sex-negativity is called out and exposed, the less those of us who feel we need to hide our love of pegging have to lose if people find out. I mean, I would love to see the day when even, say, teachers are allowed to actually have a private life that includes sexuality of some kind, instead of having to pretend they are sexless human beings so that paranoid parents won't freak out about their kids being taught by a person that is, heaven forbid, sexual, which we all are. And I'm not talking about bringing any kind of inappropriate sexuality into the classroom, do not get me wrong here. And I'm not talking about sex ed either. But teachers can and do get crucified for having any kind of a sex life. And they're all too often, they're forced to hide whatever their kinks are for fear of being judged and or fired. And it's really unfair. And I'm quite sure that they are not the only profession that forces this hiding your sexuality and practically needing a gender neutral approach. So I guess my point is, to get back to it, is that, you know, please, no matter what our other political beliefs are, let us all work together. And work together with me for sex-positive attitudes, equal sexual freedoms and rights for everyone, easy access to birth control, abortion rights, a woman's control over her own body, anti-hate crime legislation, stuff like that. You may not support all of that, But, you know, support as much as you can, as much as you believe in. I think most of the people coming to this website would support most of those, if not all of them. Because that's the really important stuff. And, you know, that's the stuff that will allow us to have our pleasures, allow everyone else to have their pleasures. And no one gets to tell us what's right and wrong about our own sexuality or what we do with our bodies, as long as it's consensual and no one gets hurt. There's an underlying sexual negativity that's pretty pervasive in our society, and I believe it comes from an overly loud minority. And I'd like us to become a factor as far as equally loud, because we are in the majority here. It's just that people don't want to talk about it. They're scared to talk about it. So let's you know, if you can, talk about it. Push back a little bit. Support those sex-positive things. Okay, in this vein, I would like to read you something that was said by Dan Savage. This is actually... I posted this on February 20th of this year, and this came from his podcast number 278. And this comment was so well said that I actually took the time to transcribe his words from his podcast, and I would like to read them to you right now. Abortion, contraception, homosexuality. It is all about all three issues. Are about the non-baby-making sex that you're not supposed to be having. They don't want to bring the abortion rate down. They want to make sure that people who have abortions are punished for the having of sex without intending to have a baby. By only being able to get the most dangerous and perhaps lethal abortion possible. They want abortions to be less rare than they are now, less rare than they are, thanks to Planned Parenthood, but much more dangerous, because they think those bitches who are having sex and don't want to have babies should be punished. And people who want to use birth control, they want to make sure that that is as difficult as possible, because people who want to have sex without having babies should be punished. They want to throw obstacles in their way. People who are gay, they know, just as they know, that even in a world where abortion is illegal, like in Romania and Nicaragua, people are still going to have abortions. They know people are still going to be gay. But they want to make sure that we are punished. They want us to suffer. They want us stigmatized and discriminated against. The obsession isn't babies, despite what you may have seen on billboards on highways in red states. The obsession is sex. They are terrified of their own genitals, and more so of your genitals. They're terrified of their desires, and they wake up every day acutely aware that they could spin out of control sexually at any moment. They are barely hanging on, because that's how we're wired, all of us. They can barely control themselves, and they think that maybe if they assert control over you, they'll have an easier time controlling themselves. They want your choices to be as limited as they have made their own. And if you make different choices around birth control, around being with people who you're actually attracted to, if you're gay or lesbian or bi, they want to see you punished. Because if you're allowed to make different choices, to have non-procreative sex, to use birth control, to be gay if you're gay, it really does make a mockery of the limitations they've placed on themselves. If you can do all those things and be happy, healthy, a contributing member of society, and not miserable, they die a little inside. They get hurt. They get angry because they've told themselves that this is how sex is supposed to work. This is the way the world is supposed to work. And there you are living your life, proving every day that it ain't the way it works. That that's not what sex is for. That you can live the life you're living and live it successfully. And you know what that does? That rubs their pitifully unfulfilling, fear-warped sex lives back in their own faces. And they hate you for that. They can't forgive you for that. Hence the desire to control you, persecute you, punish you. Because you're everything they want to be. Everything they're wired to be. And nothing they're allowing themselves to be. Wow. I love, love, love all that. And I completely agree with it. It all makes so much sense, and it was so eloquently stated that, like I said, I spent a fair amount of time transcribing that. I put it in a blog post on my blog, and now I'm happy to be reading it to you because I couldn't have said that anywhere near as well. And I think he's right on with that. That is the whole sex negative attitude. I think that's what's at the base of it. And I believe as I went back and found that on my blog, I noticed that someone had made a comment and said, you know, the really interesting thing is that so many people with those kind of attitudes are the exact ones where you're having they get outed, they get exposed, they have their secret desires that they have been saying are so bad for so long. I mean, all the different people who were anti-gay, who were then found out to be gay, and, you know, pro-monogamy, and then found out to have a mistress. I mean, there's so many times that this happens where people get really intense about this, and then we find that they have betrayed their own rules that they have put forth. So yeah, not okay. But nothing I have heard or read so far made more sense about why this is all happening than that. And I may have said this before in one of my podcasts, but one of my mantras that I live by this, is in each and every moment, every single one of us has a choice to either expand in love or contract with fear. You go back to what I just read, the description of people like that, they have contracted their life so intensely, and it's all about fear. Okay, there's my rant, but at the end of all of this stuff that started about talking about politics, here you go. I promise you readers something. This is it. The only time I will talk politics with you is if it is about sex-related issues. So the LGBTQ, and the Q stands for queer, in case anybody wonders, LGBTQ rights, same-sex marriage, sex education, birth control, porn, all the stuff we just talked about, I'll save any other political subjects for maybe my Facebook page or Twitter, or maybe I just will skip it and have it in my other part of my life Facebook page. That way, you can come here to Pegging Paradise, you can listen to these podcasts, and just be immersed in talk about sex and maybe sex politics, but nothing about other politics. That is verboten from this moment on. So thank you, dear reader, who wrote me today and asked me to take that comment off. It was inspiring. Now I would like to talk with you a little bit about a question I've been dealing with in my own personal life, and perhaps some of you have also been dealing with it. When do you tell your new interest that you are into pegging? So, and this is of course assuming that you did not meet on a kinky dating site, one that puts your kinks right out there, because there's a bunch of those and been there, done that. But interestingly enough, as many of you know from reading my blog, this is new territory for me that I'm currently exploring, and I'm exploring this very thing. And I don't think, really, now that I've done it for a little while, that there are any set rules, because there's so many variables. So as some of you know from my blog posts, I recently jumped into the world of vanilla dating, and I use that word vanilla with total respect. There is absolutely nothing wrong with people who are less kinky, nothing at all. Mostly I just use the word as a descriptor because I am kinky. Not only do I love pegging, but I love a bit of dominance as well. I like the power exchange of being in control. I like to tease, and I'm quite good with a riding crop, restraint, stuff like that. And while this may be outside the realm of many of your experiences, the important point here is that I'm probably kinkier than most of the guys on the non-sexually oriented dating sites, also known as the vanilla dating sites. So the question would be, when do I reveal? And, you know, for you guys, it might just be the pegging. Like if you're in a similar situation to me, that might be the only thing that you have to reveal. More, it might be something different, any different kinky thing that rocks your boat. But the question of when to reveal, I threw it up to a couple of communities in addition to putting it on my blog, and I got an amazing array of answers. Everything from reveal after taking him for a couple of spins sexually and bring it up during like post-coital pillow talk when he's receptive to things like that. All the way from that to I should reveal immediately when I write the first reply or approach message, and I should just throw it out there. And, you know, I think a really important thing for me and for everyone else out there to remember is that no matter what gender you are or how and when you decide to tell your potential love interest about your kink, here's the important thing to remember. If you tell them about your kink and you are summarily rejected, remember, you did not want to be with that person anyway. I know it's hard because we're all out there looking for love and partnership, and then you find somebody where a lot of things feel right and you so want it to work, but you know, if they freak out and walk, thank your lucky stars that you had the courage to tell them up front, and you're not going to find yourself trapped in a relationship where you're never going to get what you want. And you know, then you're calling Dan Savage or you're writing me. Seriously, people, think about it. So maybe you don't tell him or her right away. But I think to allow someone to get too far emotionally involved and then tell them is unfair. And everybody's going to have their own definition of what that means. It depends on how much emotional attachment, intensity, whatever, that you put with sex. Some people have sex a little more casually than others, and it's all okay. I do believe it's lacking in integrity to not be honest about who you are sexually, especially if the kink that you love is a part of your active sexual expression with a partner. Some kinks are all fantasy, so you don't need to reveal those, like straight girls watching gay porn. I don't think you really need to reveal that necessarily because it's something that is going to be in fantasy forever. I mean, if indeed it is, it's not necessary to immediately reveal that. So time-wise, for me, what I find is that I need to tell a man before I have sex with him. Not because I pull out all the toys every time I have sex with a man, but because by the time I want to have sex with a man, I'm already somewhat emotionally involved. I'm starting to get there. Because if I'm not, I wouldn't be having sex with him. So given those parameters, and yours may be different, here are some of the things I've figured out for myself. I've discovered that it is better to tell him in person because that way I'm there to calmly dispel the myths and the misconceptions associated with pegging. Interestingly enough, I think the pegging is more of a hot button issue than the dominance. The common misconception for a woman who likes pegging is that she is a ball-busting bitch like in pegging porn. So I like to sit there across from him and show them that no, I am really nothing of the sort. But, you know, having done that, have I been rejected? Sure. But I have to admit that I also tried telling men about the kink on our first meeting, which I think is actually a bit too soon. You know, the usual meet each other on a dating site and get asked out for coffee things. So you're sitting there having coffee in the Starbucks talking about pegging. No. So it was, you know, it was the wrong guys, but still it was too soon. So can you get a sense here of how there are so many variables? So when someone says, when should you tell someone? Oh my goodness, there's lots of things to consider. For example, here's some more. How soon you have sex? Whether you talk a lot on the phone first? What subjects you talk about and if it includes sexual things? Whether you view having sex with someone as crossing the line of emotional involvement or see it as more of a casual thing that might go further if it feels right for both of you? So thus far, I only have the woman's viewpoint on this. I've talked with men about it, and I've heard stories. Many of them are very reluctant to reveal. It's a big thing for a guy to reveal. And I'd love to hear from some men about their experiences, how they decided when to tell their new interest and how it went. I know from some stories I've heard that guys hide this more than their women do, like I mentioned. And again, that's probably because of the whole freak out gay thing and fear of possible social repercussions. So if you're on a dating site and you're kind of cruising around and you are looking for someone who, and a vanilla dating site, so it's not obvious what their kinks are, and you are looking for someone who might be a little more open-minded sexually, one of the things that I look for is I like to find some kind of mention of touching or kissing or sex on their profile without being crude. Because then at least I know it's enough of a priority for them to mention. I mentioned sexual things on my profile. I counted it like 3 times, including flat out stating that I am not sexually conservative. So it's probably why I get so many messages. But just the regular, well, I like to, you know, walk on the beach and walk the dogs and whatever. And there's no mention of anything sensual, sexual, erotic. I just don't go there because I just got in touch with my sexuality 5 years ago and it's like full on right now. And so I'm not interested in someone who isn't connected enough and active enough in their own sexuality to where they actually will address that in some manner or another on their main profile. And, you know, when I start talking with someone and I call them or we have coffee, it's a little easier to sort of broach the subject of sexuality because they always ask me what I do. And one of the things I tell them I do is I'm a writer, and inevitably it's like, what do you write about? I write erotica. So what I found is that it's important for me not to jump right in and say, oh, and I teach too. Because man, that's the one that messes things up. That's the one where they want me to reveal, like, right away. I mean, if I say I write erotica and they're like, wow, can I read it? It's fairly easy to say, no, not yet, because I don't know you well enough. But if I mention something about, well, yeah, and I teach too. Well, what do you teach about? Yeah, have a great time explaining that. And it's funny because I think that when I say I write erotica, where every man's mind goes is to what he particularly loves. Like, say, his favorite fantasy is being with 2 women. And so if I say, oh, I write erotica, immediately he's thinking about a story where it's him and the 2 women, or a man and 2 women. So, you know, and as you, dear readers and listeners, are very well aware, it can be so many different things, and it can be written in so many different ways. So where I get into trouble, I've realized, is when I start talking about teaching too soon. Okay, so as far as for you guys out there, I've mentioned this before, but it's a good thing to come back to. There's a story, a real-life story. It was written by a friend of mine on FetLife, and it's called Vanilla to Pegger, One Man Story. And basically, it talks about how this guy goes out with vanilla women. And again, I use that term with respect. It is not used derogatorily in any way, shape, or form. Otherwise, I would not be on a vanilla dating site. And he finds these women, and he introduces them to pegging and how he is successful at it. So, and I don't have any other details other than what he wrote in this article, which I highly recommend that you take a look at if you're a guy and you are going to be in this situation, or you are in this situation, or just if you're curious and you're a woman and want to read how he did it. He doesn't give more information. What I was going to say is he doesn't give more information about how he chooses women who are sexually open. I don't know what he looks for in their profiles. I do know he met 1 woman on eHarmony, for goodness sake. But, you know, there you have it. I'm going to post that link for you so it'll take you right back to that piece so you can check that out. But that is just some of the stuff I wanted to share about you with that whole question of, okay, I have a kink, namely pegging here with all of us listening. and me talking, and when do I reveal, you know, when is the right time? Those are my thoughts. Write me back. Tell me yours. Okay, at this point in time, I would like to read you some selected quotes from my listeners and readers. And these are all over the map in terms of what they're about. So I'm just going to pause in between them for effect, but I really hope you enjoy them. These are things where I've come across them and I've cut and pasted them because I enjoyed what they had to say so much that I really wanted to share it. And who knows, maybe you'll recognize something you wrote to me in here. Okay. Sure, I get off on the power exchange and the reversal of roles when I penetrate my partner. It's the same when I slip my hand into the fly of his trousers and fondle his panty-clad genitals, or wank him, blow him, or spank him, or whatever. But even if I didn't, those things would be worth doing just to hear the sounds he makes and see the way he responds when I do them. Pleasuring a lover so deeply is a high that no drug on the planet can provide. I think there's a certain moan we make when we're getting pegged, because my ex-girlfriend said it was the sexiest sound in the world, and I only moaned in that particular way when she was fucking me. Casual play for me is like an after-dinner mint. It's wrapped up in a shiny wrapper and it's sweet, but it's only there to freshen your breath. It's not meant to be the meal. At the end of this particular TV series episode, he was going to break up with her. She leaned forward and whispered, "I trimmed my nails." He got a funny grin on his face, grabbed her by the hand, and ran up to the bedroom. While it wasn't exactly pegging, it made me think she was going to put those fingers up his butt. My fiancé will tell me that same thing, and it gets me excited. I've been reading your articles and talking in heavy depth with my husband about all this. I wanted to say thank you for everything. Last night I made love to my husband and it didn't feel anything like I thought it would. It was pretty intense, and even to him, it didn't feel like the pegging he thought it could be. It was more. Thank you, Ruby. I know we'll be doing this a great deal more often, if not daily. Oh, yes, thanks for sending all those in. Those were awesome little snippets of lovely word combinations that thrilled me, and I was happy to share them with you. Now comes a moment that y'all been waiting for. It's the caption contest winner announcements. First of all, thank you so much, all of you guys that entered. There were a lot of great ones, truly. I mean, and they were all over the map, from poetic to erotic to absurd to just right or whatever. So thanks for all of the entries. I really appreciate them and enjoyed them. First, I am going to announce the winner of the woman sitting on the stairs with the rather sizable dildo. That's a complete understatement. The caption that wins said, "Been a long day? Come sit on my lap and talk about the first thing that pops up." It won because it was simple. You took the pun and I was all over the lap thing. And that would be, you know, this is a man's name, and I know that he probably wouldn't put it there on my comment on my blog unless it was not necessarily his real name or he doesn't mind, but I'm still not going to announce it. But I will be emailing you, sir. And I have to say, there is actually a runner-up for this caption I have to mention, and that is a friend of mine, Sprezzatura. He said, "You didn't see the balloon on the stairs? Pervert." No, totally got me on that one, dude. And probably everybody else, too. I mean, how many of you read that comment and went right back up to the picture thinking to yourself, "Balloon?" And there it was. Very nice, sir. Okay, now I'm going to announce the winner. Oh, and that man who won that caption contest wins the 6-inch membership. And this one is for the I Want It All. This was for that totally wild action photo that I was captivated by, even though the man looked like he was in a bit of pain. And I'm not really into pain in terms of from the pegging. I'm into other kinds of pain. We kind of touched on that earlier with the whole riding crop thing. But I just couldn't resist. That photo was amazing. So thanks for doing the best you could with it. And here is the one that won. Just one more thrust, and I think I can fix that squeaky floorboard for good. That one won because of humor, creativity, surprise. So Toyboy 5, I will be emailing you for the I Want It All membership, which you have just won, sir. And, you know, everybody else, I'm going to do these more often. It's a win-win for me. I really want people reading more of my stories, and I love getting a bunch of people involved in a contest. It's really fun for me. And I know that some of you thought that yours was better than the one I chose, but I'm the pegging queen. I get to choose the one I like the best. And I was in a kind of a funny mood today, so I chose those. So congratulations to the winners. Thanks again for everyone else who entered. Really appreciate you participating. I have two questions for you, my readers and listeners, should you choose to answer them. One is for people who are already pegging. When you started pegging, what was the one thing that you experienced that you never expected? You know, what was like the big surprise? Either gender, doesn't matter. I'm just curious how pegging was, in what way was it, did it cause something to happen that was unexpected, or did you experience something that was completely unexpected? The other question is for those of you who really want to try pegging, you're fascinated by it, you fantasize about it, but you have not gotten the opportunity yet. Your question is, what do you envision the hottest part of the entire experience being? Put another way, what moment do you fantasize about the most? Love to hear some answers and replies to those. Okay, so you can follow me on Twitter, Ruby_Ryder. You can follow me on Facebook. You can subscribe to my blog. You can subscribe to these podcasts through iTunes. And I'm here doing a happy dance in my chair. I'm really happy about that. Send me your stories and your questions. Thank you so much for downloading. This is Ruby Ryder from Pegging Paradise, and I'm going to leave you with one more quote that I just read today from a friend of mine on FetLife. No heels are too high when they are pointed at the ceiling. I love that. Thank you, my friend. Bye, everybody.